Amen. Good morning. Good morning. The title of my sermon this morning is, Are You For or Against Pornography? You missed that, didn't you? In any case, I want to thank you for the invitation to be here today. I want to thank Dr. Patterson, Alan Mosley, and the great staff that's here. It's always a pleasure to come and to stand before you. But most importantly, it's always a privilege, no matter where I go, to present the Word of God. It never ceases to amaze me what God does through, by, and in His Word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter 21. We're going to read verses 17 through verse 23. And the title of the sermon is, What is That to You? What is that to you? Let me ask you to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Would you stand with me, please? John chapter 21, beginning with verse 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, Follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, If I want him to remain alive until I return, and again that phrase, what is that to you? May God add his blessing to his word and our understanding. You may be seated. As you can tell by now, by my accent, my home is in New York. Obviously not. Well, I look these words up, especially in this verse 22. What is that to you? How many of you are studying Greek right now? Okay. I looked this up in the Greek, but I looked it up in another translation, which you do not have. I looked these words up in the Southern Greek translation. And what I came up with is, what is that to you? In Southern Greek means, mind your own business. Now, I know I took some liberties to say that, but I believe there's a word for each of us in this passage of Scripture. How many of you have ever heard E.V. Hill preach? Raise your hand. My first Southern Baptist convention that I attended over 20 years ago, I'd never been to a pastor's conference. And as I went to the pastor's conference, the very first speaker that I got to hear was E.V. Hill out of California. I'd never heard of E.V. Hill. I didn't know how he could preach. All I knew is that I sat down, and as he began to, what in the South they say, shuck it on down to the cob, as he can do, God began to bless my heart. And I remember as he began to preach, his title of his sermon was, On the Unction of the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Hill began to talk about his own conversion and his own calling into ministry. As he did so, he said something that absolutely blew me away. He said, I was out in a field at age 9 when God called me to preach. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when I was 9 years old, I wasn't too attuned to what God wanted me to do in my life. And E.V. Hill, I'll never forget, said he asked the Lord at 9 years old, why me? And then he went on to say throughout his ministry, He had often stopped and asked God the question, why me? As Dr. Patterson said, I lived in Hawaii. That's where I was saved at age 23. I was in the United States Air Force serving over there. We attended a church by the name of International Baptist Church, and Lynn and I went on a retreat up in the mountains. And over in Hawaii, you get what you call rock fever. Now, you would think that everybody, if you ever went to Hawaii, you would never want to leave. But you get what they call rock fever, and that means you've been there so long that you want to get off the island no matter what. Because if you don't have a lot of money, you don't get to travel. And I won't tell you, we didn't have a lot of money, you know. So we were ready to leave. And I remember the president of the college came up to Lynn and I. We were sitting on a bench, Dr. Cook. He said, Steve, do you know what you're going to do? Excuse me just a minute. Do you know what you're going to do when you leave Hawaii? He said, are you going to finish your education? For I'd been 2 years at Elon College, or now Elon University. I said, yes, sir, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and finish my schoolwork at Elon University. Dr. Cook said, well, have you ever thought about Bible college? And I said, and I laughed. I said, no, I really haven't. Aren't you talking about preacher boys? Aren't you talking about wimps? Because in my mind, I thought to be a preacher, to be a pastor, you really, those guys were the kind of the misfits. They really couldn't hold down another job, so God called them to preach. And I laughed and I said, no, no way, Pastor. You don't understand. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm an introvert, number one. And he asked us a question. He said, will you do something for me? And I said, yes, sir, I will. He said, will you pray about it? And I made him a promise that I would pray about that. To make a long story short, we attended International Bible College there, and I'm not your normal call into ministry story. You know, I hear people all the time, Dr. Patterson, say, well, God called me when I was 12 or 15. It was a distinct calling that God wanted him to preach. Well, I can stand before you today and say, that's not how God worked in my life. When I became a Christian, I told God, I said, I'll do anything you want me to do, but I will never preach. Folks, I'm the kid who in elementary school and in junior high school and in high school took zeros rather than get up and give an oral report. You know how God got my attention? I went to International College and I began to study, and I thought, well, I'll major in Christian education. That way I won't have to preach. It took about 6 years for God to finally affirm my calling for me to become a preacher and a pastor. And you know what? When that happened, do you know what I asked God? Why me? Why me? And you know what the answer I got then and the answer I get today when I ask Him why me? What is that to you? Mind your own business. You see, sometimes there are no other answers except God telling us to mind our own business. We've got to look at the beginning passages or the preceding verses here just for a moment, because these verses are the ones you hear the most often preached on. They're the ones that preachers take and dissect, and you've always heard the sermons about the love of Peter for Jesus and Jesus testing his love verbally here. I believe these preceding verses tell us at least three things. Many nuggets found in here, but at least three things. The first thing it tells us is it tells us the love that Peter had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine looking at the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and Jesus asking you, do you love me? Not once, but three times. Finally, Peter called on. He said, Lord, why do you keep asking me? You know everything. You know my heart. You know if I love you or not. In essence, he was identifying and saying, Peter, I know you love me more than life itself. The second thing these passages of Scripture tell us is Peter's function as a preacher. He said, feed my lambs. My friends, I want to tell you, there is no higher calling than feeding sheep. Now, I don't know what you've been called to do or called to be. I know there are pastors been called here. I know there are other kinds of vocational people here. But I want to say to you, there is no higher calling than feeding sheep. And if a shepherd doesn't feed sheep, a shepherd is not happy. Peter understood his calling, and Peter, he found out his purpose in life. And when he did so, Peter became one of the best preachers of all time. Well, the third thing these passages of Scripture tell us is it's a hope that despite Peter's miserable performance during the last days of Jesus, he was not only forgiven, but he was reinstated to service. I think that tells me the most about our Lord God right there. Let me ask you this. Have you ever failed God before? Anybody here ever failed God before besides me? Sure you have. Does he forgive you? Absolutely every time. Peter denied the Lord Jesus. Not once, not three times. And yet we see in this passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus, by His grace, forgave Peter. I don't know about you. That's wonderful news to my ears because I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And neither do you. Neither did Peter. I mean, Peter, here he was, denied the Lord. And the Lord looked at him and he said, you know, it's as if nothing ever took place. Wiping the slate clean once and for all. I can't tell you the number of times I failed, and I won't tell you the number of times I failed if I could remember them. But I can tell you what happens when we fail. I can tell you that the devil will use those failures to convince you that you're no good. I'll guarantee you some of you in seminary today, God has used some of your failures, and right now He's beating you up with those failures. He's saying, you call yourself a Christian. And folks, when you become a pastor, you go into full-time Christian work, it gets more intense. Because then the devil begins to say, you failed and you called yourself a man of God. You know what? I got news for the devil, though. He knows his fate. He knows his fate, and his fate is to be bound up in hell forever one day. He has no right. He has no claim over the Christian. And I want to say to you today, just as the Lord Jesus gave forgiveness to Peter, no matter what you're dealing with today, if it's a failure, I want to say this to you today. Jesus forgives you, but you got to ask for it. It doesn't come just automatic. He says, feed my sheep. Then he goes on to say, follow me. Interesting. Peter tries to take the focus off himself. And then he goes on to John in verse 20. You ever tried to take the focus off yourself? The Holy Spirit ever convicted you in such a mighty way that you tried to take the focus off yourself? Maybe you blew it in a certain area, or maybe you knew something was coming up, but you tried to take the focus off yourself and put it on someone else. We don't know exactly why Peter did that, but he did. He said, look at the disciple behind you, Lord. Look at John. And do you know what Jesus' reply was? Peter, you need to mind your own business. What is that to you? Now, there are many questions that come to my mind. Why Peter's question? Why? I think there are three possible answers. It could be one of them, or it could be a combination of all three. Because what it does is, it helps us identify with Peter's struggle as disciples and as ministers today. Number one, disciples question. Disciples question. Now, what do we mean? Folks, I want to tell you, it's okay to question God. But I'm going to tell you, if you do, sometimes the answer comes back, it's none of your business. Or what is that to you? Why do you think Peter questioned the Lord Jesus? Well, could be a number of things. I've been in ministry over 23 years now. Could be he was jealous. Could be that he was jealous. You see, it was known that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, in my household, I'm 51 years old, and in my home, I'm still the baby with my mom and my dad. And I have two brothers and a sister. My mother, if she were here today, she would introduce me as her baby boy. You know, I haven't seen too many babies that are 6'3" and weigh 203 pounds. But every time, Dr. Patterson, you'll say, this is my baby's boy, Steve Rumley. And my brothers declare to this day, don't they, honey, that I am her favorite son, that she loves me more than she loves them.
You know what? They're all older than me. I've got a brother that's 61. And yet, I can tell from time to time, he's a little jealous. Because she does treat me a little bit differently. Do you know, could it have been possible that Peter was jealous of John? Because we know that John was the one whom Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Maybe Peter, after hearing his own exciting future here, was jealous of John's future. What's Peter's future? Not too bright. Not too good. And yet John's future, man, he was going to live to be an old man. Could have been he was jealous. Folks, do you know who are some of the most jealous people in the world are? Who would you guess? Preachers. Preachers, some of the most jealous people on the face of the earth. And I'm sad to say that. And I'm sorry to say that. You know who's next? Musicians. I'm sorry, except for these included now. I know y'all are not. Could it be that Peter was jealous of John? You know, I can remember 18 years ago, I sat in your seat. Not often, mind you, but I sat in your seat. It was not to... Are they required to come to chapel? No. Bless your heart, I'm glad you're here. It wasn't required. It was required once a week for us to come 18 years ago. And I can say that I cut chapel sometimes, Dr. Patterson. When I came, I'd come when I heard a good preacher was going to preach. So like some of you did. You know what? I can remember sitting in your seat, and I can remember saying these words to myself, sitting in your seat. Man, if I could just have a big church. Man, if I could just make some money. God, if I could just have a good vehicle. You know, I was driving a Volkswagen Bug from Burlington back here 3 or 4 times a week. I mean, when it got cold, you got cold. It don't matter. You could turn the heat all the way open. It didn't matter. You know how them old Volkswagen Bugs, they didn't have any fans. You just kind of got off the engine. And I can remember sitting in your seat saying, and people would get up to preach, I'd say, man, God, if I had a church like his, boy, if I had the money that man had, I'd have it made. Do you know what that was speaking? Jealousy. And I want to say to you this morning, things aren't what they always seem to be. Things aren't always what they seem to be. You know, I'm not knocking. I love this seminary, and I love what it stands for and the education you're getting. But if I could add one word of advice, Dr. Patterson, it would be this. I wish you got more practical, and you may get it, but I wish you got more practical study in as well. Because, my friends, I stand before you and say, be careful what you ask for. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm going to share a little bit about me this morning. And I know that I run a risk when I do this every time. Last time I preached here was over a year ago. And since that, much has happened. Last August in our church, our constitution provides that if 12 people in the church do not like you, do not want you there, they can get together and call a church conference and have a vote on you. Well, there were at least 12 people in our church that didn't like what I was doing, the way I was going. So last August, a church of 3,000 people decided, 12 of them at least, to call a conference and vote on me, whether I was going to remain pastor or not. Now, I want to tell you, you may think that don't sound like a whole lot. I'm saying to you, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask God to do. You see, and in the midst of all that, you know what I kept asking God? I said, God, why me? Why now? God, you know my heart. All I want to do is preach the gospel and win the lost to Christ. Why all these politics? Why all this mess? You know what? I didn't get a good answer back. You know what the answer I got back was? It's none of your business. I'm doing a great work right here. That was hard to accept, folks. I understood what Peter was understanding, what he heard the Lord Jesus say when he said, listen, what's that to you? I never did get a definitive answer. And I say to you today, I pastor one of the greatest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. Last year, in the middle of all this, we baptized more people than we ever have in the history of the church. Now, friends, I want to say to you, I didn't understand that. When I was in the midst of it, people were saying, you need to go to another church. You need to do this. You need to do that. I'm glad I have some solid friends with some good counsel. Could it be Peter was jealous? Could it be we ask that question sometimes because we feel sorry for ourselves? Peter was to die a martyr. Jesus answered, mind your own business. I'm doing a great thing here, Peter. Could it be that Peter felt that he had the right to know? Well, let me tell you, sometimes you don't have the right to know. You're not God. He's God. We've got to remember that. So disciples question, and secondly, disciples quake. Quake? By that I mean they fear, they worry. How would you like to know today that you are going to die prematurely a martyr's death? Now that'd be some exciting news, wouldn't it? That you're going to die, and the Lord Jesus went into great detail to tell him. He said, man, you're used to dressing yourself. There'll be a coming day when you won't be able to dress yourself. Used to be going where you want to go, there'll come a day when you won't get to go where you want to go. As a matter of fact, there'll be a day when you'll come and they'll take your hands and they'll strap you to something. Now, how would you like to have that put before you? Would you be scared? Well, yes, I would. Do you know, I ask you the question, how would you like to know today that you're going to die prematurely a martyr's death? You know, the fact is, in our day today, in our world today, chances are some of you will. Chances are some of you might. Chances are that the way the world's going and the way our, things are shaping up, I know there are people right now who are giving their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, during all this thing in August, I was advised for my health. Listen to this. Dr. Patterson, I was advised for my health that I ought to change churches. I've got a stent in one of my arteries. My doctor said, you can't take that stress, Steve. I said, but doc, that's not what God has said. When did we ever come to the conclusion, I want someone to help me after this is over if you know the answer? Where did we get the opinion that it's about us? Where did we get the opinion that we're supposed to have longevity in life? Who told us that you're supposed to save yourself for Jesus? I thought the Bible said that we're supposed to be used up for the cause of Christ. Folks, I don't know about you, but Peter Marshall died in his late 40s. You know what he said? He said, the measure of life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. I say amen and amen to that. Thirdly and lastly, disciples question, disciples quake, and lastly, disciples quiet, which literally means they resolve. Peter finally resolved. He decided he was going to follow Jesus Christ in verse 19. It's what David showed when facing Goliath. It's what Jehoshaphat showed when facing Jerusalem. It's what Nehemiah faced or showed when facing the wall. It's what Daniel showed when facing the lion's den. It's what Stephen showed when he was stoned. Looking for answers today? Are you? Some of you may be single. I'm sure some of you are single. You ever ask the question, who am I going to live the rest of my life with? Who's going to be my mate? I'm sure some of you are asking that question to God. Will I be called, or where will I be called to serve? Ever ask that question? What? What will God ask of me? How? How will I make it? Friends, I don't know the answer to those questions for you, but God's answer for you today might be, mind your own business right now. I'm doing a great thing in you today. My prayer is that you and I will resolve that we're going to follow Jesus wherever and whatever that means. I have a great what I think is a great paragraph that I read a long time ago. It said, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man or the woman in the arena, whose face is marred by the dust and the sweat and the blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows the triumph of achievement, and who at the worst, if they fail, at least fails while daring greatly, so that their place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I want to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? What an exciting adventure. Sir Edmund Hillary and his faithful companion Tenzing Norgay together climbed the slopes to the summit of Mount Everest, a heroic and historic achievement. Reports kept coming in of their progress. Binoculars and telescopes were trained on that little dotted line of men who made their way toward the summit of Mount Everest. Through ice and danger, itching their way along, sometimes they could be seen clearly. At other times, when the clouds moved in, they were out of sight. A reporter paid them a tremendous tribute. He had to make a deadline with his paper, so he filed this report. When last seen, they were climbing. Folks, I don't know about you. I pray for you that you'll settle for nothing less than that. That when last seen, you were climbing, you were serving, you were stretching with your hands, your head, and your heart, and your eyes pointed up at Jesus Christ. What is that to you? God bless you.